You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome in to another edition of MCM Radio. I am Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, have you recovered from that wonderful Thursday night football game?
As a writer of the Titans and the Tennessee Volunteers, I feel like I need a raise. You know, I don't feel like I'm getting enough to do what I do. So, no, I have not recovered from that terrible football game. And, I get to watch another one on Saturday, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I just... It's so frustrating, and Terry and I were talking about this before we came on. Before I get into all that, MCM Radio, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, just wherever you get your podcast, search out MCM Radio, and you'll find us there. Music City Miracles is where we write, musiccitymiracles.com. Follow us there. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. Like I said, we were getting into this before the show started, but like, you know, having kids and stuff, you have a limited amount of time to watch football. Like, there's only so much time you can dedicate to sitting in front of the TV and watching football, and it's so unfortunate that this is the team that we have chosen to follow, because it's not fun. Like, I would like to be able to sit down and watch an offense that's fun to watch. And the Titans, I was looking back through some things a minute ago. I mean, in 2016, they had a pretty good offense. It was pretty fun to watch. But with the exception of that, I mean, it's been a long time since you really thought, man, I can't wait to watch the Titans today and see what they do on offense. And, you know, I guess we can kind of start there. Listen, the offense as a whole is a disaster. And I don't think there's any other way to put it. Marcus Mariota is you've been saying that he's broken for a long time now, with the hope that he could get fixed. I think we're past that point now. If you followed us from different places, you know that we were the biggest Mariota defenders coming into last year, even throughout this summer. We're still pretty much like, hey, this guy, there's something there, and he can turn it around. But at this point, it's not going to happen here. I don't know if it's going to happen anywhere for him, but he just, like I said, I think your word broken is perfect. There's just something about him that is not comfortable in a pocket anymore. And I was talking about a tweet from Chris Raybon earlier, kind of a DFS guy, but he said Marcus Mariota has the pocket presence of someone who's playing Madden and walks away and forgets to pause the game. And I mean, that's really what it looks like. And listen, the offensive line has issues, and we will get to that as well. That is certainly a part of this equation. But there are times where he drops back, and it literally looks like he's back there. He's afraid, and he has no idea what to do.
Yeah, 9 sacks last night, and I'm putting half of those on him. I really don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what Pro Football Focus says. If you watch that game, you're yelling at your TV, get rid of the ball. At least I am. You know, I'm seeing Deion Lewis in the flat. I'm seeing some receiver on a drag route. Get rid of the ball. And Mariota's just dropping his eyes and not getting rid of the ball and taking sacks. You know, there were several times where he had, you know, 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket and didn't really step up and got caught from behind and dropped. And it's just a negative play. So I don't know if it's comfortability in the offense or what. I know he's been through the offensive coordinators. We've touched on all of that. But he's just not getting it done. He's not getting rid of the football. Like you said, the offensive line was bad last night. Nobody here is sugarcoating that. Jahmyr Douglas, I don't know how he's on the 53-man roster. If that's the best the Titans got, then that's real bad news. But those two did not help each other out, if you know what I mean. So I was really interested last night, you know, when I said all of these sacks aren't on the offensive line. I was really surprised at how many came back with me and came back and said, well, what do you expect him to do? He's been sacked 9 times. And I'm just like, how many of those are on him? And I'd say at least half of them. Again, get rid of the football. He has no internal clock. You know, you talk about that internal clock, 1, 2, 3, get rid of the ball. I don't know if he's not getting through his reads or what. You know, the A.J. Brown play at the end of the Colts game, we saw him lock on. I don't know if he's locking on and not seeing things down the field. You know, Mike's All 22 on the site last week on the Colts game. That was great. Really painted a picture of the problems with Marcus Mariota dropping his eyes, not seeing guys right in his face that are open. Very makeable throws. So, like I said, he's broken, and I'm not sure that you can get it back. This offensive line is a mess. Arthur Smith is a mess. There's just so many questions right now.
Yeah, and then you get into this whole circular argument, right? Is it the play caller? Is it the offensive line? Is it the quarterback? And I think the answer is probably yes to all of them, but I think we're to the point now where you could drop another quarterback in the system. They were talking, I was listening to the Midday 180 a minute ago, and they were talking about, well, you know, Ryan Tannehill would have gotten sacked 9 times in this game also. I don't think that's true. I think he would have gotten sacked, and it would have been, you know, 5-6. But I think there are a couple of sacks, at least 2 or 3 every game, where, like you're saying, Marcus just doesn't get rid of the ball. You have to know that at a certain point, you're either going to throw it or run. And he doesn't do either. And there was one play from last week's game where Marcus got sacked. You see Derrick Henry, he kind of blocks for a minute, and then he goes out, and he's just standing there all by himself. There's nobody within like 6 or 7 yards of him. He's standing there right in front of Marcus's face. And I said in my tweet, I mean, I could say Derrick Henry's name 4 times because I'm like yelling it at the, you know, as if it helps that you yell at the TV. I'm yelling it at the All 22, which is like 3 days later. But like, you know, like I said his name like 4 times while he's wide open, and then Marcus gets sacked. And it's the stuff like that that's just so frustrating. And again, if you didn't know anything about football and you watched that game last night, you would think that Marcus Mariota was the rookie and Garner Minshew was the fifth-year guy. And I don't know what's going to come of Garner Minshew. I mean, who knows? It's early on. We've seen plenty of guys who have come in and have been good and have flamed out later. I don't care to get into any of that. But just when you're watching those two guys play, the rookie is the one that looks like the more experienced guy. So I don't know. It's frustrating. You know, listen, Derrick Henry had a huge drop. That didn't help things. I thought he was pretty good besides that. You know, Corey Davis made a really nice one-handed catch on another poorly thrown ball from Marcus. Marcus had Delaney all by himself in the end zone. I don't think that ball got tipped, just wide open. And even still, he should have thrown it like 2 or 3 seconds earlier than he did because Delaney's over there all by himself. I mean, it's just the stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to put it all on Marcus. But, you know, like we talked about last time, it's just people want to say none of it's Marcus or all of it's Marcus. It's somewhere in the middle. But you can't say none of it is him. We're to the point now where it's time to move on. And Ryan Tannehill, the answer, whatever. I mean, they can play him. They can not play him. I really don't care about that. I would like to see him in this offense just to see if it would make any difference. It's not going to make, you know, to where they're going to go from being one of the worst offenses in the league to one of the best offenses in the league. Could it push them back to the middle and the defense is good enough that you can back into a good season? Maybe. But, I mean, who knows at this point? So I think that what we do know right now, unless we see some major change. And again, don't come at me with, well, it's only three games. It's not only three games. It's four-plus years, with the exception of, you know, or it's at least the last two-plus years that we've been having these issues. Don't come at me with the small sample size thing. This is what Marcus has been since he came back from the broken leg, and I don't see any other answer than they're going to have to move on next year.
Yeah, my point, I keep coming back. The good quarterbacks elevate those around them. The good ones adapt. You know, they figure it out. We saw Peyton Manning play with terrible offensive line. We saw the same with Andrew Luck. Saw Russell Wilson play with terrible offensive line. The great ones adapt. Mariota was blitzed time and time again last night. Could not figure it out. Arthur Smith didn't really adjust, but Mariota didn't either. And that's my problem. You know, you look back at all the coaches that we've been through as Titans fans, and you just start to wonder, was it really the coaches, or was Mariota so limited that these coaches couldn't really get done what they want to get done? So there's a common thread here. It's Marcus Mariota. This is year five. He's healthy. Got the best supporting cast around him. I know Taylor Lewan's out. Maybe that helps getting Lewan back into this lineup. Maybe they can kick Dennis Kelly to the guard spot. Maybe that's going to solidify things. I think he at least deserves Lewan back into the lineup before you make a move like Ryan Tannehill. But he's just flat not getting it done right now. And those still making excuses for Mariota, we've both been there. You know, we spent all of last year on a podcast doing the same thing, saying how, well, he's hurt. He doesn't have a great supporting cast. Well, this offense is terrible. Maybe it's just him. You know, at a certain point, it falls back on him. So I think he's got to take some responsibility here. I think that's where all of my blame is starting to go. Last night, you know, that Colts game, the second half of the Colts game, and last night, just really, really dreadful. And I'm like you. I don't think it would be much different with Ryan Tannehill. You can play him if you want. You can see what you got. But I'm more convinced than ever Marcus Mariota is not the answer. You certainly cannot give this guy $20 million or whatever you're going to pay him. I'll be interested to see what he does on the open market, but I'd be willing to bet that he's not going to get paid by the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I don't see any way they can do that at this point. All right, well, the good news is there's more bad stuff to talk about. So coming up after the break, we'll get into more mind-boggling coaching decisions. And then as good as the defense was last night, I got some questions there as well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, so last year I was very pleased with Mike Vrabel as the coach. There were some times where he made some decisions I didn't necessarily agree with, but there was nothing that had me concerned about his ability to be an NFL head coach. We've heard the leader of men thing and all that, whatever. But there have been a couple things in these last two games that have really started to get me concerned. And last night, one of them was the fact that Adoree Jackson is back there to return punts. I mean, we know that he muffed the first punt. That's what led to that Jaguars first touchdown. It was hilarious. And Terry, I almost texted you. So we had my oldest had soccer practice. So we're on the way home listening to the very beginning of the game in the car. And then I get out of the car, get in the house, turn the TV on. Okay, so as I'm pulling into my driveway, the Jaguars are about to punt. And then so I turn it off, you know, figure they're going to go commercial, get in the house, and the Jaguars are up 6-0. And I had no idea what I was like. What they were about to punt, and then so it cycles through. They show the replay, and of course my first tweet during the game last night was, why is Adoree Jackson back there returning punts? Like, we all know that not only does he make a costly mistake like that from time to time, but he has no idea what to do. He doesn't know when to catch him. He doesn't know when not to catch him. He doesn't know when to fair catch. I mean, he has been a disaster as a punt returner, which, again, is one of the more mind-boggling things that I've ever experienced as a Titans fan, because that dude was electric in college as a punt returner. But he has not been that here. We know he's not that here. It's never like we were talking about this before we came on. I think he had two really return for touchdowns rookie year. They both got called back on penalties. Since then, he hasn't done anything that justifies him even being back there. So the fact that they continue to put him back there, not only did they put him back there for that punt, but he was back there for at least one more, maybe two more, before they put Adam Humphries in. I don't understand the logic in putting Adoree Jackson back there. He's been bad. He's costing you at the very least field position, but last night he directly cost you points. I can't understand what Vrabel is doing there. It's got me a little bit concerned.
The Titans probably win, what, two more games if you've got a guy back there just taking fair catches last year. You know, he did this last year. This is not new. I don't know what else you need to see. And furthermore, I don't know what you're seeing that makes you put him back there, because he's just not good at this. You know, even when he gets the ball free with room to operate, he's not good. And I don't know what happened, because, like you said, he was great at USC. I don't know if the Titans are going back and watching USC tape, but I don't know what makes you want him back there when you've got a guy like Adam Humphries, who's going to be nothing flashy, but a guy that's going to catch the fair catch and, you know, maybe get upfield for 8 to 10 yards like he did last night. And then to see him make that mistake for, what, the fourth or fifth time in the past 2 years, to put him back there twice before you bench him for Adam Humphries. I think he got benched when he let another punt roll. And then you finally put Adam Humphries back there. I'm with you. I don't know what else you need to see. You know, I've kind of always been on the fence about Vrabel. But, you know, little stuff like that, we're going to get into more of what he did last night. But then you look at the end of the game, end of the Colts game, how they managed that clock, the aggressiveness, the choosing to go for the touchdown in London last year, you know, not taking the field goal last night, not taking the field goal, going for a touchdown with this offense that had done nothing all night. That stuff is inexcusable to me, and I think he needs to dial it back.
And at what point are you supposed to see a sense of urgency from the offense? You know, they get the ball back with, I can't remember how much, like 6 minutes or something last night, and they weren't going to win. I think at that point that was pretty clear. But they're handing the ball off to Deion Lewis on first down. That was probably inside of 6 minutes. And I mean, to me, like I was going nuts at that point. I mean, why in the world are you going to run a run play right there? Like, okay, yeah, you're kind of backed up against your end zone. Who cares? Like, you got to get down the field. So you take a sack, you throw an interception, they turn. Yeah, I mean, then the game's, like, officially over. But, like, a run on first down there is mind-boggling. There were so many times last night where they were in first and long or second and long after a penalty from the worst officiating crew in the history of officials. Like, I'm sorry. It was so bad. So many backups. Not while the Titans lost. It didn't have really anything to do with the Titans losing, but it was hard to watch that game because there were so many penalties. But I just don't understand running there. And again, I know that Mike Vrabel doesn't call the plays, but they're calling the plays in a headset. Mike Vrabel can hear the call. He's free to, as the guy in charge, to say, no, let's throw the ball here. Why are we going to run it here? So I don't know. Like I said, I was sold. I was all in. But the last little bit, and then again, they just don't look. They get out there with you know, down, and I see all kinds of people. I mean, you had more eyes on a Titans game last night than you normally will because it was, you know, it's the only game on. And so just guys that I follow for different reasons that have nothing to do with the Titans are like, do the Titans know that it's the fourth quarter and they're down by two scores? I mean, they just all these questions you see rolling in from all these random people, and so you're sitting there watching it, and you're like, what do they not understand here? You got nobody running out of bounds. They never spiked the ball. They got to the line quickly, but they weren't sprinting around. There was a lot of like looking to the sideline and waiting, and I don't know, they don't look like a well-coached team right now. And last year, and again, all the other stuff aside, they at least looked well-coached. They looked, at least looked like they knew what was going on out there. And I just – the last two games, especially in these instances where they need to hurry, they need to get plays off, they need to get to the line, they don't look like they know what they're doing.
My last gripe on Vrabel is throw the challenge flag on defensive pass interference. I know – what was it, 13%? It got overturned in preseason, something like that. But there were a couple times last night, a couple calls on Logan Ryan. The one in the fourth quarter where you were just like kind of hanging on, maybe the Titans can do this. They get the stop and the refs throw another flag, calling Logan Ryan for a defensive pass interference. Challenge that. It's in there for a reason. I don't know why he didn't last night. There were a couple that I thought he should have. I just thought the team needed a spark. This team needed to get a stop, get the offense back out onto the field. You end up not getting the stop. Leonard Fournette goes all the way down the field, basically starts the game away without scoring. Titans get the ball back with 3 minutes left. So I just several coaching decisions that I didn't agree with. Going back to those penalties real quick. I really thought they kind of neutered the run game. I thought Derrick Henry started out pretty well. And then I looked at his stats in the second quarter, and he had like 15 yards rushing. Well, it's because everything positive got called back. Everything got called a hold. That hold on Tajae Sharpe, my goodness, out on the edge.
That was terrible.
That's about the worst call I've ever seen. So, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. I did think the refs killed the Titans' ability to run the football. They've kind of got their MO going here. It's beat teams up and win in the fourth quarter with Derrick Henry. I didn't think they were able to do that last night because they couldn't really get the run game going because of all the penalties. But, look, like you said, it's not an excuse. But I did think it hurt the Titans early on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you feel like Derrick Henry's rushing line should be better than it was when you look at it last night. And then you look at, did you notice that Marcus threw for 304 yards?
That's the most hollow 300-yard passing performance I've ever seen.
That's like, because I saw when I pulled up Twitter this morning, somebody tweeted something about, like a hollow box score, something yeah, to that extent. And I didn't even realize he threw for 300. I was like, are you serious? Like, yeah. So that was rough. And then last thing on the defense. The defense has been good enough for them to win games, no doubt. They gave up, 20 points last night. You got the one where Adoree Jackson gives them the ball right down there by their goal line. So you definitely can't fault them for that. They, like I said, they've been good enough for this team to win both of these last two games they've lost, but they still can't get a pass rush, and that's kind of starting to bother me a little bit. We knew it was going to be a problem, and they didn't do enough in the offseason, I don't think, to address it. Cameron Wake was great in that first game, but I felt like all along they were going to have to do more there. Malcolm Butler continues to have Malcolm Butler-type moments. I don't know what else to call them. A play where he's right there, but he, gambles just a little bit too much and gives up a play. I think about the touchdown, and then there was another long pass down the sideline where, he's there, but he's just not able to make a play. So, if we're going to – you're really nitpicking if you're gonna get on the defense for this game, because again, they were good enough. They were absolutely good enough for the Titans to win this game. But I do think when you get against some of these teams that have these high-powered offenses, they're gonna need to be able to disrupt the quarterback a little bit more than they did last night for sure.
Yeah, I thought Dean Pease was pretty conservative last night. It seemed like Minshew had all day to throw. But it honestly kind of seemed by design. The Jaguars were lining up with 7 on the line of scrimmage and just teeing off. Titans were the exact opposite, just content with rushing 4 and letting Minshew beat them, which he did from time to time. But, yeah, they gave up 13 points to me. I don't even count the touchdown that they gave up after the Adoree fumble. 13 points, that should be a win for most teams, but the mistakes added up. And it just goes back, if this team just had an average offensive line, average quarterback, I think they'd be 3-0 right now. But the decisions that Marcus Mariota made in the pocket, the lack of ability to protect Marcus Marietta from Jamil Douglas. Those two things tipped the scales, in my opinion. And, you know, it was just a snowball effect. You just had several bad decisions. You couldn't you couldn't really play with your identity in Derrick Henry last night. You got behind from the get-go, and this team is just not built to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you get into a point where you're down two scores in the second half, they're gonna have a tough time against anybody, but especially against a team that has as good of a defense as the Jaguars do. It's not gonna happen for them. So, I don't know, man. It's tough because you really feel like they could have won both of these games. You feel like they should have won at least one of them. Now you're 0-2 in the division. It's a long road ahead for a team that had aspirations of, you know, going, quote, from good to great. That's not happening as of right now, and it's really hard to see what's going to change to make it happen. I mean, they plug Nate Davis in for Jamil Douglas in Atlanta. I'm sure that's going to happen. How much does that help? Taylor Lewan comes back in, you know, the game after that. Do you move Dennis Kelly to right guard at that point? Ryder Saffold's been a little bit of a disaster. So, I mean, there's so many questions where it's not like, hey, if they could just get this one thing right, they'll go ahead and take that step. But, I mean, right now you're not even talking about going from good to great. You're talking about going from terrible maybe to good, and then great seems like it's really far away at this point. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts?
It's just so hard to know what to want anymore, even out of this team, because you know what's going to happen. They're going to figure some things out. They're going to iron out their issues, and, you know, they're probably going to win 7 or 8 ball games. And I'm left asking myself, what does that do for me? You know, what does that do for the organization? It gets you to, what, picking 18th in the draft. Then you've got to decide what to do with Mariota. I've already decided. I think the Titans front office has probably already decided. Then you're tasked with what to do next at quarterback. So Titans just aren't going to be in a position to draft a quarterback really high without giving up a ton of capital. I don't know if John Robinson's the guy to do that. I don't know if he will. We haven't seen him in that situation. But I'm just left feeling defeated, and, you know, kind of envious of what the Miami Dolphins are doing. Honestly, they've seen this mediocre franchise for so many years. They're finally doing something about it. Unfortunately, I think it's going to take doing something like that here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope it doesn't come to that. But like you said,
it feels weird to say, man.
Yeah,
but
what's the right way?
What's the point?
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% there. All right, that'll do it for today's show. We'll be back a couple shows next week, kind of get back on track with it. Titans Film Room Radio, I'm sure they'll have a couple things for you on this game as well. Like I said, subscribe to the feed, Music City Miracles, wherever you get your podcast, and you get both of our shows, musiccitymiracles.com. We'll have a lot more about this game, and then hopefully happier things to talk about down the road. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertTN. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you again later.